Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3. The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership. Where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingan in with Willie Donick and Derek Mason today. Ask D. Mace coming up later this hour. So get your questions in for Derek. 615-737-1025. You can start loading up the text line right now. So if you've got questions for Derek, get them in for later this hour. But Willie, Derek, we are one weekend really away from game week for the Tennessee Titans. A week from Sunday, the Tennessee Titans will kick off their regular season against the Chicago Bears. We're less than 1 week from actual meaningful NFL football with the Thursday night game, Ravens and Chiefs, which should be a good one. But Willie, as we prepare for the Titans regular season opener, you have a list of questions you want to get to. We're going to sprinkle them in throughout the next week or so, but you wanted to kick off that today.
At this time each year, and I can just feel the whole city, you know, with bated breath, because this is a tradition that we have begun on this show. This is the fourth year that we've done this.
Can we say a tradition like no other? Can we say that or change the word?
I don't think the fourth anniversary, by the way, is a special anniversary like the Pearl anniversary of the silly underdogs.
So there's not like a four-year anniversary that we can name it? And Nick, you need to look that up. Like a four-year anniversary.
It's the Sherpa jacket anniversary. How about that?
I own one.
Bring it in.
Nick, you're great, too, because we just ask you to do things on the fly and you get it done. So appreciate
Thank
it,
you,
man.
Appreciate
Never
it.
Go unappreciated, because you are appreciated, brother.
He's
go
man.
Ahead, Willie.
At the end of each preseason, I put together, because we know the anticipation for a football season is unlike anything else, mm-hmm. right? The off season is longer for football than any other sport. So we spend so much time talking about what's going to happen next year, all of training camp. So I put together what I think are the 10 biggest questions for the Titans for the upcoming season. And we've already hashed them all out backwards and forwards. We know what the issues are. And if these questions are answered a certain way as they play out, the Titans are going to have a pretty good year. Mm-hmm. And if it goes a different direction, well, not so much. And so the last couple of years, we kind of know what has happened. So I've come up with 10 for this year. We're going to go 2 today, and we will sprinkle them in leading up to their opener a week from Sunday. So you ready for the first one here?
Yes, but before we get to that, what's the four-year anniversary, Nick?
Fruit or flower?
The fruit and so this is the
fruit and flower anniversary
of the Titans. 10 questions.
There we go. I like it.
What kind of fruit?
It just says modern gift. You could also give appliances for a 4-year anniversary. Blue or green for colors, for flowers.
I was going to say this should be the persimmon anniversary. You guys like persimmons? Stone fruits? No?
The gym
Stone
you could fruit? Also
Wait, listen. Again, example would again be blue the topaz. Minute Adam opened up his mic, our vocabulary got much better. Yes. So thank you, Adam. We appreciate it.
Nobody likes persimmons?
I take it.
What's an example of a persimmon?
It's a stone fruit. It's a type of stone fruit.
Okay.
Oh, it's its own thing. It's not a category of fruit.
No, a persimmons is its own fruit.
Well, let's just name
I'm
it.
I'm good. I don't want
the anniversary
persimmons.
Of the persimmons anniversary.
We'll call it the persimmon anniversary.
Persimmon.
Spell it how you want to spell it, Willie.
Okay, yeah.
Spell it how it sounds.
I'll do a spell check. It sounds like Yusso Parsonen, but persimmon. It's like his cousin from him, the persimmons and the Parsonens.
Persimmon?
Family feud. And then the cinnamons. Okay, here's the first question. We know that this is a new era. Derrick Henry is gone. They have Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears as the tandem. We have watched how they have been used. We've talked a lot about both players' strengths. Mm-hmm. They are not completely different types of backs. So here is the question. Now, in a perfect world, we know that if they both do well, that's good for the Titans. But we're all going to be curious because if you haven't already had your fantasy draft, you're going to have to make this decision at some point. Is if you're picking one of them, who would you pick? Who is going to be the more productive running back this year for the Titans, Pollard or Spears?
Oh man, that's a tough one because I think both of these backs are going to be used, try to be used equally. That's a 1A and 1B. It's not a first string, a second string. And I think, you know, during games, they're just going to ride the hot hand more than likely, but still we use both guys. I would tend to say at the beginning it will be Pollard. But I think as this offense starts to really form and as it starts to find its identity, I think you'll start to see Tajay Spears come more into play. Because I get it, both guys can catch the ball out the backfield, but there's no way in hell you can look at both of these guys and can't say out the backfield that Tajay Spears isn't the most dynamic guy they have catching the ball out of the backfield. I didn't say he was the most dynamic runner of the football from the backfield. I said once you get the ball in his hands on a screen play or a quick out or something like that, watch him when he gets the ball. The kid is explosive. He's going to end up being that guy, an Alvin Kamara type of guy. Not like Alvin Kamara. I'm not saying he is Alvin Kamara, but just watch him. The things that they want him to do in his offense is the things that they want Alvin Kamara to do in the offense in New Orleans. In Cincinnati, they didn't have a guy like Tajay Spears. They didn't. Mixon, P. Ryan, those guys were not like Tajay Spears. He's a different animal. So as the season goes on and they start to form their identity more, I think you will see Tajay Spears, his impact will be more and more each game as it goes.
So by the end of the year, you will take Spears in the complete picture over Pollard.
Okay. Yes.
You got an edge for Spears. We all hope that they complement each other well, exactly, and they both do well. But if you're going to pick one, you got to pick one. So you're going Spears. Adam, what do you feel about it?
I'm taking Tony Pollard in this one. Now, they played limited preseason snaps, but it was fairly even, the split of snaps they played. Pollard had a slight edge. I also found Tony Pollard to be more dynamic when he was on the field in the preseason than Tajay Spears. Tony Pollard is another year removed from that serious ankle injury he had that ended his 2022 season. Despite that, he still had 1,000 yards rushing last season. I was curious about this. He was one of five running backs in the NFL last season with at least 50 receptions and 250 rushing attempts. It was Pollard, Joe Mixon, Cincinnati connection, mm-hmm. Brian Callahan, Travis Etienne, Rashad White from Tampa Bay, and Christian McCaffrey. So an incredibly dynamic player. Now, I would assume that he might not be getting as many opportunities because they have Tajay Spears in the backfield, but I would not be shocked to see Tony Pollard, you know, among the league leaders again at his position, I should say, in receptions and rushing yards. I think that we will see Tony. I mean, I remember at one point, I think Tajay Spears said he thought that he and Pollard would finish as top five backs. I think he said that during like minicamp. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm fairly confident that Tony Pollard is going to be the more productive of the two throughout the season, assuming they stay healthy.
Tajay Spears combined had over 800 yards in combined offense. He had 100 carries, averaged almost 5 yards per carry. He had 52 receptions, 7.4 yards a reception. I understand the hopefulness or excitement about Pollard. I get it. Pollard is a tough runner. He's another year removed from that knee injury, so I expect him to be closer to the back he was 2 years ago than last year. But if you just watch both of these guys with the time they've been given on the field, at least let's just say last year because that was Tajay Spears' first season. There's no way, again, you look at Tajay, not to say that both backs aren't good backs. Both backs are good backs. And Pollard, I think they're going to get their money's worth. But Spears is the most dynamic guy. Spears is the most dynamic guy they have on their team, period. Over Ridley, over Burks, over Pollard, any one of these guys. He has the ability, if they use him the right way, and I've said this about this Titans team with Tajay Spears, yeah, when they got him. I said, if you use this kid the right way, he's going to be dynamic. You see it when he gets the ball. You see, you and I discussed this last year about Derrick Henry. We didn't say Tajay Spears was better than Derrick Henry. They are a more explosive team when Spears is out there, because Spears can do those things that Derrick Henry lost the step at doing. The jump cuts, the hitting the hole very quickly, being able to stop and go at on a dime. Those are the things that Tajay Spears can do and still shows. That run he had on the goal line, come on, man. It's just his explosiveness. And if no one wants to recognize that. I get it. Pollard's a 1,000-yard rusher. They paid him a lot of money. He's going to come here. He's going to do well. I believe that. But when you're talking about dynamic, Spears is in a class of his own on this team. I'm not saying in the NFL. I'm saying on this team. He's the most dynamic guy they have on that offense.
I'm also going with Spears. Pollard, the Titans are hoping, can be the veteran, savvy guy that you trust that's been through it and also resembles the player he was 2 years mm-hmm. ago, where he was much more efficient with less touches. Because production, you know, for a fantasy football owner, I don't know of a fantasy league that is into efficiency or anything like that, right? It's all about the yards, right? So there's different ways of measuring who's going to be more productive. But I think the more effective guy and eventually more productive by the end of the year will be Spears. I'm a little worried that once you have the significant injury type of thing that Pollard has come up with, it's very hard to get back to your peak level that we've seen. And Spears is just, he's got the younger legs. And I agree that with that dynamic factor. So I'm going to give Spears with the edge. And I'm hoping, again, that they are a great tandem together.
Although I did choose Pollard in this question, to your point, just based on average yards per carry. In 2022, when he was sharing more of the load with, I believe, Ezekiel Elliott, he averaged 5.2 yards per carry. Last season, as the lead back in Dallas, he averaged 4 yards per carry. So 1.2 fewer yards per carry for Tony Pollard. But because of being a year removed again, as I mentioned, from that serious ankle injury, I would expect it to creep up. I would expect it to creep up closer to 5, maybe not to 5.2, but I could see it being 4.7, 4.8.
Listen, Tajay Spears averaged 4.5 yards behind a horrible line. Derrick Henry averaged, I believe, right at 4 yards per carry. If this line is much better, and we can say that about Pollard too, but if this line is much, much better, which we assume it is, then we should see more of who Tajay Spears really is than we've seen the previous year. So to me, the offensive line gets better, you're going to see more of that dynamic player that the Titans saw or we saw in college. I think it's going to translate to the NFL.
All right, question two. Last year, the Titans had all of 14 takeaways. 14 in a 17-game season. 6 interceptions and 8 fumble recoveries. That ranked second to last in the entire NFL. We know that they have completely overhauled and revamped the defensive philosophy from the coordinator on down. Last year, just to give you a guidance point before I give you the over-under for this year, the Ravens had 31 takeaways that led the NFL. And, of course, Denard Wilson comes from that family tree. 21 teams out of the 32 had at least 21 takeaways. So the Titans weren't even close to the 20 mark, which is sort of at least the standard, right? 21 out of 32 teams had at least 21, and there's a lot that had more than 21. So here we go. Here's the over-under. Will the Titans have over or under 20.5 takeaways in this new Denard Wilson-led defense?
Based on past history with, you know, whether he was at Philadelphia, it was the Jets, or in Baltimore, he's been a part of a unit that have excelled at taking away the ball. And the reason they've excelled at taking away the ball, why? Because they generate pressure. When you generate pressure, the quarterback has to release the ball a tad bit earlier than what he wants to. And when that happens, typically, you know, you are in a position as a defensive back to make a play on a ball. The Titans have been missing that over the last season, two seasons, where they haven't been able to be opportunistic in that area for whatever reason. We know the reasons. The defensive backs just haven't been good. The defense hasn't been aggressive on the outside.
Not a great pass rush. Yeah.
Not a great
pass
rush.
Been much more of a bend, don't break.
Exactly. So now you have an a defensive coordinator that thrives on pressure. Pressure bust pipes. And what would be the translation of busting pipes? Interceptions, fumbles, turnovers. Be violent when you attack the football. This is what this defense is going to pride themselves on. Not just that, but being smart and intelligent and communicating. So I expect them to have more than 20 turnovers.
Okay, so you're going over.
Mm-hmm.
So and I would say it's bad news for the Titans if they don't go over 20 and a half the way they're going to try to play.
So if you break up those takeaways by interceptions and fumble recoveries, the Titans had 6 interceptions all of last season, the worst mark in the NFL. By comparison, the Baltimore Ravens had 18. The only teams with more, the Bears and the Niners, had 22 interceptions apiece last season. So the Ravens had a plus 12 differential on the Titans in interceptions. I'm going to go out on a limb. Maybe it's not really that much of a limb. The Titans are at 6 interceptions. I think they double that this season. I think they have at least 12 interceptions over the course of the season, which isn't much, but it's a vast improvement. And based off of that, I will also go over for total takeaways at 20 and a half.
It is a very fluctuating stat from year to year. Mm-hmm. But you would have to think that the design of the – because there are ways to play good defense with the bend, don't break philosophy. Be good in the red zone, force teams to make a mistake somewhere along the line. And some years you just don't get the turnovers. Last year was an extreme case. And we know on the outside they didn't have a lot of ball hawks for sure. I think they've got an upgrade in that area this year. So I'm going to say I like what I see. I am going to go over. And I meant, 20 and a half, I'd be curious what Vegas thinks, because this is me. This is not me looking at a sports book and seeing what it is. But I just did it based on the fact that 21 teams managed to get 21 or more last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking them to be in the top 5 in this area, but if they could get to 21, I would think that could make a difference in a game or two.
But
right?
The average has to be somewhere around 20.
They got nothing last year.
The average has to be somewhere around 18, 19 takeaways.
Oh sure, but more than that. Mm-hmm. If more than half the league has 21 or more.
So it was about 21.
It's in the 20s somewhere. Yeah. And the Titans didn't even sniff that. 14?
Well, hell, they couldn't even vote.
Well, we're going to get to that one.
Drinking either.
Coming attractions in future top 10 questions for the Titans, we will ask the question, will they be able to vote this year and average more than 18 points per game?
So the first two questions, and you can submit your answers on our text line, 615-737-1025. First question, who will be the more productive back by the end of the season, Tony Pollard or Tajay Spears? The second question, over under, set by Willie, 20 and a half total takeaways by the Titans defense this season. Those are the two questions. What are your answers? 615-737-1025. Also, make sure you load up our phone and text lines. Ask D-Mace is next. 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 1025-1063. The game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
Receiving yards.
Field, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Willie and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
All right, it's that time of the week. It's Friday, it's 12:30. It means it's time for Ask D-Mace. And before we get to your plentiful calls and texts, I did this math during the break. The league average last season for takeaways was 22.9. The Titans had 14. The league average was 22.9 per team.
Titans? Come on, man.
Willie has set the over-under at 20.5. The league average was 22.9.
So we're just looking for a significant gain from last year. What would that mean? I would think it would mean good things for the Titans. It's the way they want to play. And so only time will tell now. But these are the questions. Mm-hmm. These are the questions. And now we have more questions.
We have plenty more questions. And we'll start with Adam on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's time for Ask D-Mace. Adam, go ahead.
Yeah, man. So I kind of have been thinking for some reason about the 99 team a little bit. I guess of late, because Jared keeps doing this thing where he basically tells everybody we need to hate this team right off the bat. And, like, I think of how much I love that team as a 13-year-old kid. And, D-Mace, I think about that Autel Stadium. You return the kick. You guys come home, and we're waiting for you at the stadium. And we were prepared. Like, the city had already prepared to go down there and support you guys, even if you lost, because it was an incredible season. And, like, being a kid and experiencing that was special, right? Like, it was just a special team. And I wonder if you think we're ever going to get back to that. Because the city, like, even when the Titans were good in 08 and in 2019 or whatever, it didn't feel the same as that. And I don't know if it's because you guys were new or because it was just the Music City Miracle, and then we beat Jacksonville three times, and, like, everything was just so – beat Peyton Manning. Like, we it was just such a magical season. I wonder if we're ever going to feel that again in the city.
Thank you, Adam, for your call. We appreciate you calling when you do call in, and we appreciate you listening to the show always. Here's my thought on that. To answer your question, basically in a nutshell, no. And not because I don't think the Titans will ever be in that position. I think they will. I think it's a matter of time. I think if these, you know, the picks that they're making and the free agents that they're bringing in, if they, you know, do what they have done for prior teams, then this team should be in a good situation moving forward. Now, obviously, we've talked about this ad nauseum. They got to build up the depth. That has to happen. And that will take another year probably or two to build up that depth the right way. But I think they will be there. Once again, here's the reason why I don't think it'll ever be like that. This city has changed so much that you have an influx of people coming that are other teams' fans. It's so many of those individuals that are here, whether they're Dallas fans, Green Bay fans, Buffalo fans, Raider fans. There's just an influx of more fans here in Nashville. And when it happened the first time, it was almost like those were – I know they were not homegrown Tennessee Titans fans, but they damn near were. They damn near were. And as we grew as a team, the city grew as a fan base, meaning how much they love their team. There's – in essence, you can never get back once again. I think the next wave of sort of that winning tradition or getting to that point, the fans will not look the same and they will not cheer the same. There was nothing like it first happening. Your first will never – your anything after your first will never be the same. It just won't. Good or bad, it will never be the same. And I don't think that it will be the same once the Titans put themselves in that position, unless they win a Super Bowl. Now, if they win a Super Bowl, it would be their first time winning a Super Bowl, so that will be different. But the first time this team won an AFC Championship game, went to a Super Bowl, that crowd, that day, it will never be the same. Because I guarantee you, if they don't make an AFC Championship game, or if they lose the championship game, people ain't going to be waiting. There may be some people waiting for them, but they're not having a parade. They're just not doing it. People are not going to be in droves waiting on the Titans to come back after, losing their AFC championship game or winning. For that fact, because they're like, we can just wait until the Super Bowl, and the city's not going to spend the money to have that happen. That's why it will never be the same. it will, that first time will always have a place in everybody's heart who was here. The city, who was ever running the city at that time, I think it was Mayor, was it Bredesen?
Mayor Bredesen was the one that that brought them to town.
But who was the mayor at the time? He might have been the governor. So who was the mayor? I know the vice mayor, but who was the mayor at the time? Man. But again,
why don't I know? I mean, I should know this.
You
would know that.
You should. It's coming up.
It's because pre-Carl Dean.
Yeah. So there will never be another first time.
Was Bredesen still the mayor? Had become the governor, because then there was the next guy who lives in East Nashville. I'm trying to forget who.
98.
What year was this?
98.
99. Yeah. Bredesen was the mayor until 1999.
Okay. So, but there will never be a first again. So I think it will never, you will never be able to reduplicate that or recreate that unless you win a Super Bowl.
All right, here's a texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Get ready, D-Mace. Hey, I heard Jared on Robbie and Rex Road and on social media tell the audience publicly that he's going to be a dad. D-Mace, do you have any fatherly advice for Jared?
Oh, well, first, as I told Jared,
this is not a joke, by the way. He did do this. Joke, like, yeah. The texter is correct.
And listen, and like I told Jared, congratulations. When Jared first let me in on, you know, the big news, I said, "Did you get a new dog or something? What's going on? Are you are you going to be an uncle or something?" I never thought him. Like, Jared, you are going to be the father. I never thought that. But then he said, "No, it's me." And I was genuinely happy to see that, and to hear that, rather. And I'm happy for the mom to be as well. Got a chance to meet her at one of our events for the station we had. So, beautiful couple. You know, they're going to be great parents, I know. But my advice is to cherish every moment that you have with the little one. If you can get up in the if you get up late at night with the baby, please do get up late at night with the baby. Even though, you know, most men would tend to, you know, want to sleep in a little longer and mom gets up, I'm telling you, there's nothing like going upstairs while mom's still in the bed resting, going upstairs, and it's just you and the little one just sitting there having bonding time. I experienced that with Bailey. I experienced it with DJ, and there's nothing like that. So,
I know this is Ask D Mace, but may I interject as well?
Yeah, let's do it, because the number one, I do want this out there, because I was honored, and I think you guys knew before he went public.
Yes,
yesterday I was very honored that he shared that with me, and thought enough of me to want to tell before he told a lot of people. So that was really cool. I am really happy for him, too. And so Adam, you've become a father for the first time more recently than me and D-Mace. So.
Yes. Get ready to learn how not to sleep, buddy. That's my piece of advice. So
I didn't go there with
him, but he'll find out soon enough. Yeah. How many times do you think that child will be soothed to sleep hearing the right tackle story?
Oh, absolutely. Every day.
Every night. He's going to take little Jared Stillman, who I think he should be named Mason Rudolph Stillman. That's the name I'm suggesting. Mason Rudolph Stillman. Jared should take the little Mason Rudolph Stillman, sit in the rocking chair. Get a comfortable rocking chair, by the way. That's another piece of advice. And he's going to say, "One time I was filling in for Willie and George Plaster. It was the first time I ever met Floyd. And I said, 'Hey, Floyd, are the Titans going to be any good this year?' And you know what he said, little Mason Rudolph? 'We don't have a right tackle.' And that kid is going to be out cold." That's what I'm saying.
I am very confident that this child is going to be able to sleep soundly through anything.
Oh,
because if Jared's his dad, and I you know, our house, I'm proud to say, growing up for our kids, we had a lot of hustle and bustle. We had a lot of action going on. And we conditioned the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't those people, "The baby's sleeping, don't say anything." Mm-hmm. You know, because you got to condition them that they could. And we had plenty of people that could come on and carry on kind of a lot of conversations. I feel like Jared's kid is going to be able to sleep soundly through a lot of commotion, which is a great skill to have, by the way. Yeah, if you have to have absolute silence to sleep,
Good luck.
Not in the Stillman household. With Jared around.
He'll get the job done, though.
Yes.
Eric has been waiting patiently for a question for Derek on our phone line. Eric, go ahead.
I also have a dad joke. And actually, the thing was that the dad joke that I was originally going to tell you, because I was going to tell it last week, but unfortunately, time ran out. But I actually heard a different one the last few days, and actually, it's better, so I'm going to tell you this.
We're ready for you.
Okay. Did you hear about the scientist who crossed a watermelon with cauliflower? Did you hear about that?
I can't say that I did.
Yeah, well, it was kind of real sad, kind of real down. He was melancholy.
The three dads on this show approve.
Catch Eric at Zany's.
Jared's going to have to start building up his base of dad jokes because he's going to have to.
Yeah, well, guys, Derek, this is a two-part question for you. One, since the Titans, I guess since the last time I talked to you, all the moves that they've made, how do you feel about the moves firming up the roster, including the trade that they made with the Rams, getting the linebacker, just all the moves to finalize a 53-man roster, and also Ryan Stonehouse? How do you think he's going to bounce back? Because I think he had his first punt last week against the Saints. How do you think he's going to do, and do you think, you know, you never know if somebody's fully recovered from the injury, but how do you think he's going to do this week? Guys, as always, good to talk to you. Y'all take care. And also have a happy Labor Day weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. You have to do the same. First, let me answer the Stonehouse question. Listen, it's just like anything else, any other position. A year after, having a major injury, you're going to have to get comfortable being back on the field, people rushing you. Even though I know he's a kicker, but still, so how did you break your leg before? Well, somebody was rushing trying to block the punt, and they got you. And so you got to get over that hurdle first. When teams – because that's what teams going to do. I guarantee you, Chicago, the first punt, they're going to bring – first punt return for Chicago, they're going to bring pressure because they're going to want to test – Stonehouse. They want to see if mentally it's still in his head in regards to his injury. So they're going to test him. They're going to bring the rush. If he can get through that, that's the one obstacle he has to get over, being rushed. I don't think he's taking any punts this preseason game. I could be wrong. I know he was a holder, but I'm not sure if he took any punts. So he's going to have to get – I think that's the only hurdle he's going to have to get over. I think he's going to end up being the best punter in all of football. So I just think he needs to get over that hurdle of being rushed and see if he can still stay in there and deliver a punt the way he normally did prior to the injury. Now, as far as the acquisitions, I am optimistic and I am hopeful about each acquisition they made. I understand that just because you bring in a big name doesn't always mean it's going to work out. So I am in wait and see mode, but I do like the acquisitions of each individual that they went out and got. And I've been on record, and I'm going to stay with this, that if these guys stay healthy, the caveat is staying healthy. Why? Because their depth is not there. The depth is not there on this team. If they stay healthy, this team can compete with any team in AFC South. They will push every team in AFC South. This thing will come down to the wire on who's going to win this division. If you just look at it, 11 on defense versus their 11 on defense, 11 on offense versus their 11 on offense, and 11 on defense versus anybody's 11 on defense in the AFC South. I will put the Titans up against every team in AFC South. So I like the moves that they made. But again, it's like everything else. They have to be able to – this thing has to be able to work out. They have to be able to gel. If they're able to gel and they're all in one accord, then – and they stay healthy, then I can't see them not competing with the guys that they went out and got. I just don't – you can't look at this roster and say they won't or they don't have an opportunity to win AFC South. I just don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Houston's going to win. We thought that about Jacksonville. A lot of people thought that about Jacksonville. And what happened? Houston ended up winning.
Big Joe Dubin, earlier this week, as Jared pointed out yesterday on his show, contrasting your opinion just now, Derek, with Big Joe Dubin's, he said that if, I'm paraphrasing here, but not by much, If the Titans win five games this season, Brian Callahan should win Coach of the Year.
Well, he's going to be Coach of the Year then.
Dylan is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a question for Derek. Dylan, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing all right today. I heard you guys talking about Jared just becoming a dad, or you can figure out he's becoming a dad, and I had a story of my own if y'all are willing to listen.
Absolutely.
So I had just found out that I was, like a week ago, that my wife was pregnant. And, you know, we just thought she was having all these health issues, and we decided to take a test one day. And so we found out, we went to like a baby boutique, and we, you know, they estimated like 27, 29 weeks. And we just thought she was having all these health issues. We didn't know what was going on. And, you know, her arms and feet were swelling up, her hands, everything. And, you know, she was getting short of breath. And so after learning all this and, you know, her being so uncomfortable on Saturday, August 3rd, we went to the ER, and her blood pressure was really high. And they figured out that she had a condition called preeclampsia, which, you know, when I guess when you're pregnant, it kind of like escalates the, you know, how hard your heart has to work. And so the baby's heart rate was going down after they gave her blood pressure medication, or, you know, and it took the baby's heart rate down. And so they had to do an emergency C-section. So in the span of a week, I figured out that my wife was pregnant, and then several days later became a father. And he's in the NICU right now. We did a reveal for our church, and so we have proclaimed him the littlest Preds fan with a little jersey over him. So I... And also in reference to what D-May said about, you know, taking the opportunity to hold them and just spend that time with them, I'm really excited for that. You know, it was a big surprise to us. It wasn't really something we were trying for. But yeah, I'm just ready to cherish every moment, and I hope Jared does too. So, yeah.
Dylan, thank you for that. And I can relate to what Dylan is experiencing. My wife dealt with preeclampsia right after our son was born. I think I have that right. It is a serious matter. So hopefully everything is okay with Dylan and his child. But yeah, that's the thing with for Jared. Because he told me about this previously, knowing that I'm a new dad. He's like, "Do you think I'm going to be a good dad?" And that's not a question I feel like I'm qualified to answer. No, I said yes. I think you're going to be a very good dad. You know, it's the greatest thrill of my life to be a father. And as I just said, my son celebrated his third birthday on Monday. So, you know, I hope everything's okay with Dylan. Adam in Portland has texted back, and he called earlier. He texted in, "Jared's kid's friend, right tackle story. What's that? Jared's kid. God, no, not again."
Well, he's going to tell it. But Dylan, I do pray for you and your family. My nephew was born prematurely, and he had to stay in the NICU portion of the hospital for a good while. So I understand it. You know, fortunately, I didn't have to go through that, but I know my brother had to go through it. I know what he had to go through. So prayers for you and your family. And that little baby will grow up being one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Pred fan here in Nashville. So I wish nothing but health and happiness for you and your wife.
615-737-1025. I honestly think a lot of people on the text line are surprised that Jared even has a girlfriend.
I think I was surprised.
Let alone a child. But for people, because we've received a few texts. For those tuning in, Jared is, yes, he is due to become a father in December, I want to say. He formally announced it on Instagram. He also mentioned it on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. So, yes, Jared is going to become a dad. That's a terrifying sentence, but I do think he's going to do a fabulous job. 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Ask D. Mace on 1025-1063, The Game. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you as we think about names for Jared's first child.
We had some good ones.
I think Mason Rudolph Stillman is a strong name. I'm just throwing it out there, Jared. Mason Rudolph Stillman. A lot of people on our text line still incredulous that Jared Stillman is having a child. Well, his partner is having a child. Yeah. But he is going to become – that was one thing my wife would always say. Like, she didn't want me to say we're pregnant because she's like, you're not pregnant.
She got a point.
Oh, I'm pregnant.
Got to be careful. Yeah.
Yes. So it was never we're pregnant.
Tread lightly.
There's a piece of advice, Jared. Don't say we're pregnant because you're not pregnant. Let me just say that.
And I'll throw this in there, too. When mom has got the – you know, got some mom time and you – need to do your fatherly duties, right? Do not put out there to her that you're babysitting.
Exactly. You're not baby. It's your baby.
Right. You're the dad. You are not the babysitter. I stumbled a few times on that and suffered.
Oh, my goodness.
Suffered the guy.
I could just hear Aaron.
You are
what?
Not babysitting.
You're what?
Yes. Do not keep score. That's something that's very, very important. So if your wife has a few hours to herself, don't come back and say, well, you had 3 hours to yourself, so I get 3 hours to myself. I've made that mistake as a young dad. Don't do that. But Bob is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a question for Derek. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, guys. A couple things real quick. If you need to tell Jared if his baby is not perfect, we'll all name him Scarbini. And then
I do like alliteration. Scarbini Stillman does roll off the tongue.
Yes.
So, good one.
And then also, you're talking about Stonehouse. Stonehouse did punt twice in New Orleans because he actually wanted to face the pressure since he had not faced it. But one question I have for D-Mace, watching the games, have you not been a little impressed with how organized it seems Callahan and the coaching staff has the team for each game? They don't seem lost when they're out there. They seem well organized. Get up, no like, bunch of false starts or anything like that. It seems like they're in good rhythm. Even if, you know, we're not scoring all the points, at least it looks like we're in a rhythm of how we're going to start our games.
Thank you, Bob, for the question. And we talked about this because we all, at the beginning of a week, okay, what is it that we liked or observed this, you know, during the preseason with, especially this last preseason game? And my thing was, listen, the completions, what was he, 7 for 8 or 9 for 10, something like that, and over 100 yards, a touchdown or two, something like that. That was good, but that's not what I was impressed by. I said I was impressed by the operations of everything, how Will got them in and out of the huddle, how the plays came in, how the substitutions, you know, did he take what the defense gave him? Did he continue to do the boring things even though they were boring and that's what they were giving up? Did you try to press and throw it down the field or make throws you shouldn't have been making? He didn't do any of those things. He was patient. The offense seemed patient. The play calling seemed like they were in rhythm. It seemed like they were plays ahead. It didn't seem like they were playing from behind as far as play-wise. It seemed like they were ahead of plays, which we have always discussed with former, you know, offensive coordinators. Like, man, you got to be ahead of plays. It's like you're reaching in your bag trying to pull out plays to get to work. And I get part of it was because of the offensive line. But it just seems like the caller said, Bob said, listen, the operations of things look good. Now, I'm not saying that's going to turn them into a 11-7, what is it, 11-7 team or 12-6, but it does give them a chance. It does give them a chance to operate their offense the way they need to. So, to me, the operations look good. And if you saw it, Bob, I saw it, and I know there are a lot of other people that saw the same thing. Again, it's not going to guarantee you a winning season, but at least it guarantees you it gives you a sort of glimpse of if we do the things and we run the operation right, this is what it could look like.
So Robert and Spring Hill suggest George Mason Stillman so that when they're together, people can say, hey, look, it's Jared and the GM.
I like that. I like that one.
So there was another, let's see, Adam in Portland said he would have went 50-50 that Jared hadn't had his first kiss yet. So this is big news and quite impressive. Hey, let's be nice, everybody.
Hey, come on now.
We're all razzing.
Hey, and let's duck in here because you and I got to meet Lindsay.
Yes, we did.
His significant other here, the mom-to-be.
Yes.
And we were impressed.
Exactly.
She is a winner.
Yeah,
no question.
He's you know, sort of playing out of his league right now. But, hey, it happens.
We all go through it at one point in time. You know?
Have people kind of given me, have I outkicked the coverage? I've heard all the jokes, and I can't argue. Yeah, it's not a bad place to be.
Sometimes it's just that way. Okay. You know, sometimes you can't be Nick and not outkick the coverage. Nick, you know, Nick, he's
not even listening.
He's not even listening. So I was going to say myself.
Look
but
at his
I'm
eyes. Just got
that.
Really big.
I'm dialed in. I'm editing your
Zoom. You locked in like my son. Well, yeah, locked in.
Nick is one of those people that sleeps with his eyes open. I'm almost certain of it. He's always on alert. Quickly, last question from Alex and Franklin on our text line. Derek, and I've seen some of this sentiment on the text line. Derek, do you think a lot of people are picking against the Titans because they believe too much in Mike Vrabel? I feel like I've seen a lot of this sentiment on the text line about Vrabel being gone, people being high on Vrabel as a coach, and therefore now that he's gone, the Titans will suffer as a result.
Adam, I don't know. And what was the texter's name?
Was it Alex? I will have to find it.
But to the texter's
question. I scrolled away from
it. To the texter's question. I'm not sure.
It was Alex from Franklin.
Alex from Franklin, thank you for your question. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with Mike Vrabel. I think people, even those that like Vrabel, I think they've come to the realization that, okay, he's not here anymore. And the last 2 years of his tenure were bad. I think they've come to that realization. So I don't think it's so much about Vrabel not being here anymore or John Robinson not being here anymore. I think it's everything to do with they're just looking at the roster as a whole, and they're seeing a roster that is depleted in certain areas. I'm talking about depth-wise, in a quarterback that's still a question mark. I guarantee you, if the quarterback wasn't a question mark, people would buy in more to what Tennessee has done from a personnel standpoint, because they went out and got the best corner that was on the market or could have hit the market. They went out and got another corner that was tops, you know, as far as free agent. They traded and got the best, you know, one of the better linebackers, inside backers in the National Football League. They went out and got a center that was coveted in free agency. They went out and got a receiver, two of them, that would have been on somebody else's team and would have been highly contributors on someone else's team. So you look at what they've done from a starter's perspective, but then you look at their depth and you think, okay, this depth, this is going to be the problem. As well as the question mark for the quarterback. If the quarterback didn't have a question mark with all these moves that the Titans have made, I think people would feel more optimistic about this team winning AFC South and potentially making noise in the playoff.
Thank you to everybody who participated this week on Ask D. Mace. Excellent questions from everybody. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans next. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.